It's the mother of all supply chain shocks as China goes into full lockdown mode. In today's show, you'll learn why these problems aren't going away. I'm your host, Steve Van Meter, and thanks for joining me today as China goes into full lockdown mode to contain the spread of the coronavirus, causing major global supply chain disruptions. And many experts believe that these problems will be with us for years. And what is being touted as a supply issue that will only drive consumer prices higher due to just blistering U.S. consumer demand may actually not be such a problem as the demand component looks to be going away. And while many people don't believe that, as you know, the demand component is drying up quickly without the aid of fiscal stimulus. Let's pick this story up from the supply side, and as you'll see when we get to demand, why it's going away. Let's kick off with Bloomberg, who headlines, "The mother of all supply shocks lurks in China's COVID crackdowns." That's the warning from HSBC economists, who caution that if the highly infectious Omicron variant, which is already swamping much of the global economy, spreads across Asia, especially in China, then disruption in manufacturing will be inevitable. Quote, "temporary, one would hope, but hugely disruptive all the same in the next few months," they wrote in a research note this week. While the outbreak of Omicron in China is small compared with its Western peers, authorities are taking no chances. In recent weeks, scattered infections of both the Delta and Omicron variants have already triggered shutdowns to clothing factories and gas deliveries around one of China's biggest seaports in Ningbo, disruptions at computer chip manufacturers in the lockdown city of Xi'an, and a second citywide lockdown in Henan province on Tuesday. And here you can see the uncontained growth. Despite port shuts down in 2021, China exported more containers than ever. And that is huge because we're seeing where those containers are going, and we're going to look. Well, they're hanging out off the coast of California. And Kirsham doesn't see an end to the global supply crunch anytime soon and cautions it could take several years for the snarls to unwind. It's a sobering outlook to start the year that many had hoped would mark the beginning of the end of the big crunch, which dogged producers and consumers through much of last year. And that is an ongoing problem that we're going to see with the coronavirus causing intermittent disruptions. But many are believing that this one isn't going away anytime soon. And I'm not referring to the variant, I'm referring to the supply chain shocks. Let's go back to Bloomberg, who now points out that shipping congestion is growing at world's biggest port as ships reroute from Ningbo port to avoid trucker snarl. And congestion is growing at ports to ship divert to Shanghai in Xiamen. And shipping firms are making the switch to avoid these delays at nearby Ningbo, which suspended some trucking services near the port after an outbreak of COVID-19, according to freight forwarders and experts. Ships are also rerouting to Xiamen in the south, Bloomberg shipping data shows. These influx of ships into Shanghai has delayed sailing schedules for container ships there by about a week, said the freight forwarders. Those delays may then ripple outward to already backlogged gateways in the U.S. and Europe, they said, and ships could start skipping Chinese ports soon due to a lack of options, according to Hersham. And that is part of this ongoing problem, is what happens when you have delays in the supply chain? What is the natural result of when you have demand from consumers who are emptying shelves? Well, you get higher prices and more inflation. In fact, that's what everyone's afraid of. But maybe that's actually not going to happen, even though many people think it will. Let's come back to the supply chain story. And here we see the snarls may be here to stay too. And so far, China has been able to keep up with consumer demand. And that may be about to change as Omicron moves across the country. And China watchers can no longer just plan for short-term disruptions over defined periods of their forecast when an outbreak occurs. With a less clear COVID containment strategy now, it'll be harder to tell what the impact on factories and migrant workers will be. And now that COVID is dispersed across regions, prioritizing supply chains and keeping production lines running is tougher than it ever was previously. In fact, if there's one thing that you shouldn't have to worry about, and that is an impact on all this on your portfolio, if you're concerned about that, well, check out Portfolio Shield. Now let's continue on with the story, as such uncertainty will only add to the cost. Already, producer prices, while lower than in the estimated rise of 11%, came in at over 10% this week. High energy prices, along with rising raw material costs, have added to manufacturers' burden. And for now, they've been able to pass on the price to consumers across the world, and so have maintained the margins. Of course, now that is going to become the question that we're trying to answer. Is demand going away and the ability to pass these higher prices on going with it? Let's keep going. That could be at risk to keep up with surging demand elsewhere in the world, primarily in the U.S., Of course, I'll argue that's going to change. Firms' capital spending has risen over the last couple of months, but the profits that were expected to support this investment aren't keeping up. Credit too has slowed, especially into the corporate sector. Manufacturers won't be able to handle any sign of margin erosion, especially amid slowing or uncertain economic growth. And here we can see some of all of this delays is going to have a benefit because it takes about 21 days for a ship to get from China to the U.S. Maybe a little slower, but just say about 3 weeks. Well, there's a huge backlog in the U.S. already, so perhaps a slowdown in China will help alleviate some of the supply problems sitting off U.S. ports. Well, and you can see that currently, ships that are either off the coast directly or been pushed farther away due to changes in California law, well, there's about, of what you see, 100 ships waiting to get in. There's a number of ships per day sitting at 100, which is huge, just ridiculously high numbers. Now let's head over to the Wall Street Journal, because while I want to get into the demand issue, something we've been talking about, how demand is going to go away. We already have the end of fiscal stimulus, which is massive. And starting on Tuesday, the Fed is going to reduce its quantitative easing purchases to $60 billion per month as we get a withdrawal of monetary policy. While most people still think this is bullish for the economy, I think what they're going to find out is without fiscal and the withdrawal of monetary, well, things are going to get ugly, and we got a preview of that already in December. Check this out. As U.S. retail spending manufacturing drops as Omicron and inflation surge. Retail sales dropped 1.9% in December, a big slowdown at the holiday season's end. And manufacturing output fell for the first time since September. And of course, you might be thinking, how unusual is it to see demand go down in December? Well, it is very unusual, but when you're at the end of fiscal stimulus, well, it shouldn't be a surprise. Let's see where Wall Street Journal takes this. As sales were up considerably over the past year, however, retail sales grew at 16.9% in December when compared to the same month a year ago, marking the resurgent period for consumer spending after a fuller reopening of the economy as vaccination spread and government stimulus, they'll have households flush with savings. The Federal Reserve separately said the U.S. industrial production fell for the first time since September. Manufacturing output, a key component of the reading, dropped 0.3% as supply chain issues continue to affect output. Of course, U.S. stocks fell after the initial report and then rebounded. And economists say the effects of the pandemic, which is nearing 2 years, such as limited supplies and the wave of infection, is causing Americans to pause purchasing. Or perhaps, economists, the real reason is they just don't have as much money as you think. And I think that is a true story. But let's keep going, because there's a lot of evidence to suggest that consumers are tapped out. Let's keep going. The robust annual growth in 2021, despite the December headline, is a reflection of the torrent of consumer spending that has followed in the wake of depressed sales the previous year during the worst economic period of the COVID-19 pandemic. Retail businesses aren't likely to see the same pace of growth this year, as economists say. Consumer savings has come down from high levels, as we talked about in the shows this week, and the Omicron variant is creating fresh disruptions and keeping patrons away from restaurants and bars. Because of the supply chain crunch, some retailers might end up with extra products that they had hoped to sell over the holidays but didn't receive in time. This is something that I have actually pointed out on this show is going to be an issue, is when holiday-related goods show up in the new year, well, what do you think is going to happen to the price of those? Yeah, they're headed down. Resulting in discounting, according to economists. Another factor is expected additional shifts in spending from goods to services once the pandemic finally eases. And during the pandemic, consumers have spent more on goods while services spending has remained below pre-pandemic levels. In November, before the Omicron surge in the U.S., the balance had begun to shift back towards services, with goods spending rising 0.1% while services climbed a big 0.9%. And so here we can start to see what the real story is of this demand issue, because a lot of people don't understand. Now, if you watch the last two shows, then you already understand that average hourly earnings when adjusted for inflation are negative. They're actually worse than they were before. And we already know that real disposable personal income is also down, and it's negative, meaning people have less money. So when you start adding that energy component to the story and high oil prices, which lead to high gas prices, well, the story of the decline in retail sales shouldn't be a surprise, but check this out. Because what I've got here is advanced retail sales on a year-over-year basis in blue and crude oil prices. So you can see going into the dot-com bubble, as crude oil prices rose and consumers couldn't afford it, they transitioned from spending on retail sales into all of a sudden due to higher energy costs, and higher energy costs eroded the expansion. And then you look again, come into the great financial crisis, about 2006, high energy prices slowed growth. Energy prices came down, but that didn't stop the trend of slowing trend of retail sales. Energy prices shoot up, retail sales go down. And then you come into the next expansion, the one we just left, and you see crude oil prices very high, but notice it really didn't hurt retail sales too much. And then a big drop in crude prices allowed retail sales to continue. And then as crude oil got back up near the 80s, look at that, retail sales went down. And then all of a sudden crude comes down with it, retail sales go up, and crude goes up, they both go down together to the pandemic, and now they're both rising, which suggests that perhaps that consumers could afford it. And the question you should ask yourself is, why were consumers able to afford it? Due to fiscal stimulus. So now you know that as retail sales go down, well, crude oil is going to go down, and so is the economy. And what we're seeing isn't a supply issue. In fact, what we're actually seeing is there's going to be an overabundance of supply, and there just won't be the demand to meet that. And with that, we'll wrap up today's show. We'll see you soon. Thanks for being fans. Thanks for watching. I'm Steve Van Meter. Bye now. The content of this video is provided as educational information and is not intended to provide investor advice. Videos have to be construed as a recognition or association by a security financial instrument or participate in any particular trading strategy. This video was prepared by Steve Van Meter in personal capacity. Opinions expressed in this video that do not affect the view of Atlas Financial Advisors, Inc. or Steve Van Meter Financial.